another verse on my sheet. So we are beginning a new series in the evenings. This series will be on some parables. And so you can look forward to that as we go through them. And so tonight we're beginning with the parable of the sower. So if you can have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 4, that's where we'll be looking. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord God, who is sufficient to open your word and to understand it, who is sufficient to explain these things? Lord, we need your help, even as our text says. We need you, Lord, to give us grace that we might know the mysteries of your word, that we might know the mysteries of your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you have opened our eyes and that we can see, and we pray that you would give us grace to listen well and to be affected by your word and shaped by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you've ever sowed a paddock. I suspect most of us haven't, but I had the opportunity to work on a modern-day seeder, John Deere, if you must know, and these days, sowing a field is a precision task. As a seeder is set up to be dragged behind a tractor, and it's got these blades that part the ground open and a tube that comes just behind the blade and drops in seeds at a very carefully measured rate. And then as the blade continues through the ground, just neatly folds back over. And you end up with these rows, perfect rows of wheat, with perfectly spaced plants all along the way. Some seeders even drop in a little bit of fertilizer as they go so that the plants have the best opportunity to grow. Wasn't like that back in Jesus' day. That's not how they sowed a field. Back in Jesus' day, they sowed much more wastefully. A farmer would walk along a path through the middle of his field, and he would take a handful of grain out of the bag and he would throw it. And he'd just throw it around, and then they'd take a stick and they'd drag it over the ground afterwards, and hopefully some of the seed would get buried. And I think about a 10% yield they were happy with. If 10% of the grain, if they got 10% back off the grain, that was a good thing. And it's interesting to me that Jesus chose this concept as the picture for our parable, that as he's explaining how the word of God goes out into the world, he chooses sowing seeds in such a wasteful manner. Some seed falling on the path, some seed falling in amongst rocks, some seed going into the weed patch, and only a bit landing on ground that is good for growth. And you see, one of the points, the first point that I want us to see is that God liberally sows his word into our world. He's a wasteful sower of the word, and we should be too. This is how we should sow the word as we go around evangelizing. I'm not saying that everybody in the world already knows the gospel. I'm not saying God is liberally sowing in that way, although that's what we want to see, isn't it? But what I am saying is that God doesn't make sure that the word only lands on soil where good seed will grow. He's not a precision planter like the seeders of our day. He casts his seed out over all sorts of people without distinction. And the reality is, in Jesus' ministry up to this point, he's using this parable to describe what's happening as he goes out and preaches to the world and sows his seed liberally on all sorts of different people around Israel. And the disciples, they're probably sitting there watching him go out and wondering what's going on, because there doesn't seem to be the right response to Jesus' word being sown in all sorts of different people as he goes about preaching. Listen to this selection of verses. This is what the disciples have seen so far in Jesus' ministry. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Then they came to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. But he said to them, "Let's go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Jesus could no longer linger openly, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. He came to Capernaum, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately men gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. But when his own people, he's talking about his family, when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." You see the picture that the disciples are having to grapple with. Jesus is out there preaching. The disciples have gone and followed. In fact, he's even given them a job to go and preach as well. So there's thousands of people who are interested in what Jesus has to say. Every house he goes into gets crowded out. He has to go out into the deserted places because he's just too crowded in the towns as people gather around him. And yet his own family's rejecting him, and the Pharisees are seeking to kill him. And so the disciples looking on, you can imagine them thinking, why are there all these different reactions? What's wrong with the preaching? What's wrong with the word that's being sown? Why are there different responses? And that's really the question. Is the problem with the seed? And that's the question that Jesus is answering in our passage. He's explaining why when you go out into Smithfield or into your workplace or into your family and you sow the seed of the word of God, and you tell people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this parable is explaining that there is no problem with the seed when you see different responses. The problem is with the soil. So you can imagine the picture of this parable, a farmer out there throwing seed around, and let's look at the different responses that he talks about. Some of the seed lands on the path. You see that in verse 4. Some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. As the farmer in Jesus' day is sowing, there's a path that's well trodden. Hundreds of people have walked along it, animals have walked along it, it's rock hard. And as seed lands on there, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't penetrate down into the soil at all. It doesn't even germinate. In fact, the birds just come along and they take it away. And Jesus is saying, some people, when they hear the word of God, they are so hardened to the word that it doesn't even make a dent. The word is preached, but they walk away from a sermon or from a conversation completely unmoved. No effect whatsoever. They might not even be able to remember what it was about. I think this is a common type of person in our days. For many people, the word has no impact at all, no observable impression. This is a reaction you should expect to see, Jesus is saying. Is the reaction you should expect to see in people as you speak to them about the gospel. One thing to note here is that Jesus tells us in verse 15 that it's Satan who comes and takes away the word. When they hear, he says, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Yes, their heart is hard and impenetrable, but Satan is also at work as the word is spread around this world. Satan is always at work to snatch it away wherever he can, to just wipe away the memory of it. This is why it is so important for us, isn't it, to be full of prayer for those who hear the word. Even the word preached each Sunday, there's a spiritual warfare that goes on as we come to sit under the Word. Satan wants to snatch it away from us so that we walk out unmoved. You know, we might think that we aren't at risk of being this soil because we come to church, we go to Bible study every week. But, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think sometimes people who regularly come to church can become very hard to the Word. Particularly because we've heard it before. We know what he's saying. Oh yeah, I've heard that. It doesn't affect me. So does this describe you? Do you walk out of church each week looking like the same patch of ground as when you walked in? Are you so numb to the Word because you've heard it over and over again that it makes no observable impression? It doesn't even make a dent on the thoughts in your life, let alone your actions. It's a challenging thought, I think, even for me. As the sower walks on, throwing out the seed, the next part of the paddock he finds is rocky. In this part of the paddock, the seed germinates. It starts to grow. It's exciting. Success. The Word is working. But as the sun comes up, the plants quickly wither because they have no root structure. There's no support. The rocks in the soil make it impossible for the plant to send out deep roots, and it withers. You know, the fascinating thing about this parable is that three of the soils look good initially. And this is one of them. This person who Jesus is describing, they become a Christian. They hear the Word preached and they say, "Yes, I'm on board." But, Jesus says, when persecution arises for the sake of the Word, then these people can't stand. They wither away because they aren't rooted in the truth. They have a superficial faith, a light Christianity that can't withstand the heat. Compare this picture to that of the picture in Psalm 1 of the godly man. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither." Isn't that a stark contrast? You see, the stony soil person, the person who receives the Word like the stony ground, is a fair weather friend. They love to call themselves a Christian when it's easy. At church, when it's cool to be a Christian, you're around other people who say they're Christians. When you're around them, it's easy to respond to the Word. It's easy to say, "Yes, I agree. I'm on board with this idea." But when this person gets challenged by their non-Christian friends, mocked by their colleagues, when their family members criticize the Bible, this sort of person breaks under pressure. Suddenly they're backpedaling their professions. Suddenly they're not Christians in this situation. They join in the mocking, so they're not the butt of all the jokes. Perhaps this is us. Maybe we're fair weather friends of Christians. It's all easy to come to church and hear the Word and pat each other on the back and go out into the world. But what do you like out there when the pressure's on? What's your response to the Word then? What does the growth look like there? Maybe you know people like this. People you know who say they're Christians, but whenever they're in situations it's difficult, they fold. They have all the backbone of a jellyfish. Well, if you see this in someone, do you think you should be surprised? Jesus knew it would happen. Jesus knew that people would respond this way. But it's a dangerous way to respond. The end result is a complete withering away and drying up. If you've ever seen a plant that's grown on rocks and then the sun comes out, there's not much left when the sun's done with it. Another soil that looks like it receives the seed well is the thorny soil. The seed that's thrown on this soil also springs up and begins to grow. But in this case, the young plant is choked to death by weeds that grow up alongside it. The weeds, Jesus explains in verse 19, are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. See, this person, again, starts off by responding to the word. They start to grow, but over time, they get distracted with the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. They get busy, too busy with work, you know, too busy with family and all the things that we need to do, appointments and things like that. But they also get distracted with the deceitfulness of riches. They want to start chasing after those material blessings that God gives us in this world. I'm going to work longer to get more money than I need, but and then I'm distracted from following after Christ. And you know, this is a real challenge because we all have things that we need to do in this world. And it's not wrong to do them. You should work. You should have look after your kids and pay your bills. You should go to appointments. You should go visit your friends. All these things are wonderful things, and they're to be received with thanksgiving and done with joy. But the problem, Jesus points out, is when these things choke the word. And the word becomes unfruitful in verse 19. So it's about the impact on the word in your life. It's about the impact on the fruit that should be born by the word in your life. So do you find the word being choked out of your life by the cares of this world and the desires of the flesh? Do you find that you hear the word on Sunday and you even walk out and you remember it and you're changed and you want to live it out, and then by mid-Monday the word has no impact anymore because you've started going through your emails from the weekend and you've forgotten, or you've started your first job on Monday, or you've started making phone calls or serving your customers and you find that the word has no relevance to your life anymore. That's really hard, isn't it? It's hard to keep growing when there are these things around us that are good things and right things to be doing, but they can consume us. They can distract us. The last soil that Jesus talks about is the good ground. When the seed lands on the good ground, in verse 20, the hearer accepts it and bears fruit. By implication, this person is not shaken by trials because their roots run deep into the word. This person is not choked out by weeds because the weeds are constantly being pulled up and kept in check. But the key differentiator between this soil and the others is bearing fruit. So what is that fruit? What's the fruit that the good soil bears? Well, I think it's the fruit of a changed life. You could think of it as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The idea is that the word is taken in, and as it grows in the hearts of this good soil, it affects the life of these people. It changes them. Does that describe you? As you come and have the word sown each week, as you read your Bibles and the Lord sows the word in you in that way, are you being shaped by it? Are you being changed by it? Are you being grown into the image of Christ by it? Are you bearing fruit? You know, I think this is the beauty of the job that God has given us to do. Jesus went about sowing the word liberally on all sorts of people, and some missed it completely, some tapped out when it got too hard, some got choked and lost their way, but some were changed. Some were impacted in such a way that they bore much fruit. And we're called to do likewise. We're called to go and sow the word out in this part of the world, in our circles of influence, at work, at school, with our friends and our family. And as we do this, like Jesus describes, we can expect to see all sorts of different reactions. Hard path reactions, stony ground reactions, thorny ground reactions. And amazingly, we will sometimes see good ground reactions. Some seed will take root and change people's lives. So as Kevin DeYoung said when he was preaching on this, he said, in the words of that great theologian Dory, just keep sowing, just keep sowing, just keep sowing, sowing, sowing. Because that's what the farmer does. He just keeps sowing, and the word will grow when it finds the good soil. Well, so far we have an explanation of what will happen as the word is sown. But we don't, and we know partly that Jesus is telling us this to describe what we're seeing around us as the word goes out into the world. But there's also some very interesting context that I think adds some light. In verse 10, right in the middle of the parable and the explanation of the parable, the disciples come to him alone and they ask him about the parable. What does this mean, Jesus? What does this parable mean? And at the end as well, we'll get there, and verses 21 to 25 I think are connected and tell us something about the parable as well. But when we're looking at the disciples asking him, look at the response that Jesus gives. What does this parable mean, Jesus? And to them he said, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. What does this parable mean, Jesus? Well, he says it means that some people will hear the word of God and they won't understand it. And to those who do understand it, what is it that will cause them to understand? He says, well, to you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. He's saying, partly, I talk in parables so that some people won't understand, which is another way of saying, you see, there's different soils that don't understand. But the good soils, those that do understand, those that do receive the word well and grow and bear fruit, to them it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. One point of this parable, I think, is that God is the master gardener. He's not only the one who sends out the seed and scatters it liberally about on all sorts of people, he's also the one who works in the dirt of human hearts. In John 3:3, Jesus put it more clearly. He said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Or in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Perhaps you are an example of the good soil. You've heard and you've responded to the word of God. Not only that, you've persisted in following Jesus through trials and through the temptations of the world. Even more than that, you have fruit growing in your life. You're overcoming sins. You're becoming more Christ-like. Your character's changing. Your behaviors are looking more like the fruit of the Spirit. Well, if that's you, it was given to you. It was there because God prepared the soil of your heart to receive the word well. Not only is hearing the gospel a grace, being able to sit and hear the good news is a gift that God gives us, but responding to the gospel is a grace as well. So Paul could say, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. But the second addition to the accounts of this parable is found in verses 21 to 25. In particular, look at verse 24 to 25. This is attached to all three instances of the parable of the sower in the Gospels. And in verse 24 he says, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it will be measured to you, and to you who hear more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And this aligns with the first word of the parable, actually, in verse 3. "Listen," Jesus says. And in verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You see, Jesus is saying, also, you need to be careful how you hear. Here are different responses that you can have to the Word of God. You can sit there and you can be hard to it. You can take it in superficially and fall away in various ways. Or you can take it in and you can grow. And Jesus is saying, take heed. Be careful how you hear. As you come to read His Word each day, as you come to sit under the preaching of His Word, as you come to your Bible studies, take heed how you hear. Ask God that He would make you the good soil that receives it well, and seek to listen well. Seek to listen well, that we might be changed, shaped by the Word, and bear fruit in this life. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You have sown Your Word on us. We thank You that You cast it out so liberally around, and even in our lives You've cast it many, many times. But Lord, we pray, we know our own hearts, Lord, we know our tendencies to be unmoved by Your Word. We know our tendencies to run away when things get hard, and we know our tendencies to be distracted and blinded by the things of this world. Lord, we need Your help. Make us good soil, we pray, that we would hear Your Word, accept it, and bear fruit in this life. Lord, may we be changed by it, may we be shaped by it, may it remain with us, and may our roots run deep into Your Word, that we may be unmoved in times of trial. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.